And good morning. Thank you for tuning in to 88.5 KRFY. We are live in the studios this morning, and this is the morning show with Chris Bessler and Susie Prez. We're the co-hosts. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Susie. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine on this beautiful Wednesday, August 31st, last day of August.
Last day of August. And looking at the weather report, it might be like the last really warm day we have in the season.
I was just doing that. I'm like, we'll get to that in a little bit, but that's pretty amazing what's coming up.
And we have a great show today, as usual, actually. We have with us this morning to start with, we have Bob Over. He's the coordinator of the Nonprofit Leadership Program at the University of Idaho, as well as Sherry Meekings with Creations on this Interstreet Bridge. Say hello, Bob and Sherry.
Good morning, Chris. Good morning, Susie.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for being here. We're going to be talking about the Nonprofit Leadership Program. And Sherry, I know you've been in the program, so you can give us that perspective. And Bob, you're the coordinator. Second half of the show, we're going to switch up and we're going to talk with Melinda Rossman. She's the coordinator of the new homeschooling support program being offered by the Bonner County Public School District.
It sounds like a very interesting program, so I'm really happy that she'll be coming on about 25 to.
Yep. So hope folks will stay for that as well. And let's see, Susie, what's happening outside?
Well, the big news,
oh,
I guess.
Oh, we had big news, Big news for the night. Overnight, there was an election, and actually overnight was a count because they didn't finish till after 1 a.m. For the school plant facilities levy, and it failed by a hefty margin. It's 65% to 35% was the vote with 5,493 opposing it to 2,953 in favor.
And, you know, what some of the good news is, actually, is that a lot of people turned out to vote. So that, to me, is people are getting involved whichever way it went. And as someone explained to me earlier in the day, that levies are hard. Big levies like that. And they don't always go the first time in favor of.
Right. And we'll see what happens next with the school district. They are addressing real needs, so they're going to have to come back probably with another proposal. But the big one here was a $55.1 million proposal to actually rebuild three schools and do upgrades at almost all the schools in the district. That's what went down last night. And as you mentioned, was a high voter turnout for this type of election. It was 50%.
And that is high. And so congratulations for everyone getting involved. That's important.
Yep. Yeah, another thing's coming on this weekend. Fall Fest is going to be happening at the Schweitzer Mountain Village all 3 days. It's a microbrew tasting, but there's a whole ton of family activities that occur during the weekend. So that's a big one.
Yep, the Farmer's Market is this afternoon down at Farman Park.
Yep, and on Saturdays,
of course. And on Saturday.
We're coming down through the end of the season for them. There's some terrific produce to be had there. I'll throw out a few other big ones that are happening this weekend. It's the free first Saturday at the museum, which means you can get into the museum for free on Saturday, which is cool. If you haven't checked out the Bonner County Museum, you should do that. Also, there's a Walk for Hope, which is happening on the Long Bridge on Saturday as well. There's a Funky Junk Antique Show that's happening at the Bonner County Fairgrounds and about, I don't know, a dozen other things in town. So, as usual.
You can always go to our website, krfy.org, and look at the community calendar. Or we receive that from Sandpoint Online, so you can go to both places.
Either place. And before we get into our program, let's take a look at the weather, Susie.
Okay, the weather. Well, get ready, folks. Currently, it's 55 degrees, and today we can expect sunny skies, high of 81. Tonight, partly cloudy, low 54. Thursday, still pretty warm, 74 degrees, mostly sunny. And then Thursday night, things start to change, a 50% chance of showers in the evening, and then Friday. And Thursday evening, the low will be 49, but then Friday, 80% chance of thunderstorms and showers, high only 59 degrees.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Well, I'll tell you, we do need the rain.
Absolutely.
So that's going to definitely help, but it's kind of bringing in a period of cooler weather.
Cooler weather. Fall weather.
Yeah.
As school
starts.
Early fall. And then we can have Indian summer coming up.
Yeah.
Or fall summer,
whatever that's
called.
We'll take it that way. Also going on outside, the sunrise was at 6:01 a.m. this morning. It'll set tonight at 7:30 p.m. And we're now in that period of time where we're losing daylight every day. And in the last 7 days, we lost 23 minutes of daylight per day as the days are getting shorter. So, yep, we're in that fall mode now. There are 13 active wildfires in Idaho. There's several over in Washington. So these dry conditions are producing definite fire hazards. And, of course, you can always get out on the lake. The lake is at full pool. And they're going to keep the lake at a higher pool level a little bit longer this year as well. So,
is that for recreational purposes?
No, actually, it has to do with some, I think, maintenance things with the dam or some operation things with the dam.
Well, so, people will be happy about that.
Yeah.
We have a nice fall.
Yeah. And with that, Susie.
Well, let's get to our guests. You know, this is an important program. Bob Over, we've had you into the studio several other times. When the nonprofit leadership workshop or program through the University of Idaho was having events here in Sandpoint, kind of their summer get-togethers, and it's kind of more of a workshop for that. But this program has been going on for quite a while. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the program and your role in it?
Thank you, Susie. Program started 4 years ago, and it was born out of the need to provide support services, skill training, and networking opportunities to people in Sandpoint, in fact, throughout North Idaho, where we just don't have those resources available. So what we did is put together a program that is totally unduplicated, not only here but throughout the entire state. It's a year-round program, and it's administered by and taught by instructors that are the best of the best of the best. And so we provide those support services to nonprofits. And as you know, Susie, you were in attendance at the last two retreats we had here. One was last fall, and the one before that was in the middle of summer. We had about 140 people show up, and it was really fun. Had classes all day and guest speakers and food and boat rides and massage therapists. And it was a way of taking care of ourselves, learning skills, and meeting people.
The workshops are not only fun, they're very inspiring. And some of the ideas we've incorporated here at KRFY as a nonprofit that really have helped continue to support our organization. So those workshops alone were very insightful and eye-opening.
I'm glad to hear that. In addition to those retreats, we have been doing some classes, like a couple a year, in Sandpoint in particular, and running them through our professional nonprofit leadership certificate program, which we started 4 years ago. And that's a program that's based through the University of Idaho, and where somebody, if they take 50 hours of classroom work, they can achieve a certificate of completion. That certificate has got a lot of value in that I've been doing it here for 4 years, but I did it in Durango, Colorado for 5 years before this. Everybody I know that has achieved that certificate has been able to secure a job above and beyond all contenders for that job. It shows the employer that this person has gone above and beyond and specialized in a particular area, and they're nabbed up pretty quickly. So, yes, it's not a degree, but it is a certificate through continuing ed. This year and subsequent years, we're doing classes. We're focusing more on classes than we are on the retreats that we've done. And we've just about tripled the numbers of classes. And the classes we're doing this fall, we're doing 11 sessions. And we're doing classes that have been asked for the last year, year and a half. And they're classes that sort of step outside the boundaries of the what I would call the war horses. The war horses being critical classes that are needed, such as board development, fundraising, strategic master planning, etc., which we will be doing a series of those classes this coming spring in 2017. So these classes this year are classes that will embellish those classes and are just a little bit different and very specialized.
Bob, when you say a class, how many hours does a student put into a class?
Classes are 2.5 hours in length.
But there are multiple classes on that subject,
multiple,
right?
Yeah, we're doing 10 different classes this fall. Last year in the fall, we only did 3. So we're expanding. We're beefing up our classes. We're bringing back the very best of our instructors, and we're going to be going forward. And the big difference now is that people, once they jump into the program, can finish that program in 10 months. They don't have to wait the 1.5 to 2 years that they did before. So with more classes, beefier classes, more relevant classes, one could start with an 8 or 9 week class in September and finish up in May with 12 to 14 class sessions. So 10 months or so, you can get a certificate of completion from the University of Idaho. Which is real special.
And we have a star pupil here.
Oh,
I'm guessing she's a star pupil.
She's one of the very best. She's a great, great example.
Sherry Meekings. And Sherry, you operate a nonprofit yourself already, Creations. And I'm guessing 8 years at Creations? How long?
That's pretty close, Chris. Yeah. Since 2009.
Okay. And are you're in the middle of the certificate program now, or how far along are you?
Yes, I'm in the middle.
Okay.
Yeah, so I plan to take the fall semester, which will be completion of my 50 hours.
Okay. And so describe for us, you know, the value of the things you're learning here. Since you've really been running a successful nonprofit now for a number of years, how is this augmenting your skills and knowledge?
So I wish I had the class offered to me 9 years ago. Because I operated by, you know, I'd try something. If it didn't work, I'd put my boots back on and go out there and try again. So
trial and error.
Trial and error, for sure. The biggest thing, I gain knowledge every time I'm there. The networking opportunity is amazing. And it's making me a better leader, a stronger leader. It's giving me a path to follow instead of me just kind of guessing where that path needed to go. And I have great support. I mean, I have Bob as support, and the other people that are there are equally as qualified. So you're working within your peer group. So it's amazing.
Now, Creations, you provide arts and crafts education activities for children. Tell us a little bit about your nonprofit.
Okay. Our nonprofit has grown over the years, and we've expanded to reach different community needs. So right now, as you mentioned, of course, we're always free arts and crafts, and we implemented a work skills program years ago. So we've had 11 participants in our work skills program, meaning people that have no contemporary work skills. They come in and they train with us. We have a retail store where 100% of our proceeds benefit our education space, our art space, and our discovery space. So they get a full circle of education there. And we also, we introduced a mobile unit this year. And I don't know if you've seen us out on the street, but it's a big, cool, colorful bus. And we have a nutrition program that comes from that bus. And we also offer arts and crafts as well, because that's what we do. Mm-hmm. So it's an organic-based nutrition program for schools in our community. So that's where we are today.
And so the mobile unit, you travel around to different schools and set up for the day. Is that the deal?
So you'll find us every week at the farmer's market, and you'll find us at grand openings, birthday parties, schools, community functions, events, all of the above.
Mm-hmm. Taking Creations to the people.
Yeah, that's right. We found out a few years ago it's imperative to meet people where they are instead of asking them to always come to us. If we go to them, we actually really target our, you know, who we're trying to reach. We're trying to reach our children.
And your storefront is actually on the Cedar Street Bridge, kind of the whole east end of the bridge now, right?
It is. Yeah. That's right. We've grown to 33 or 400 square feet. So we're open every day.
So Sherry, you know, from the very beginning of Creations to this expanded version of it, what kind of is the mission of Creations? Because, you know, you probably saw needs and you just kept expanding. But ideally, in the beginning, what was the core and how has it changed?
You know, the core stays with Heartbeat, and we truly listen to our community. So we create an encouraging space for people to come and share and hang out with one another and talk to one another, support one another by being creative while they're doing that. So I think we've kind of stayed within that realm. It's just, You know, we have little arms reaching out all over and really meeting our community where it needs to be met.
The work-based program is unique. And, but you must have seen a need. People show up. They have young children maybe doing the art, or maybe they're doing the art. And then you saw a need. So it's still within that realm of being creative, listening to the community's heartbeat.
That's right. I've seen so many, many miracles and growth. I can't stop. I mean, when you're in an environment like that every day, I mean, it's no longer work. I mean, I love it so much. And I feel just as strongly as I do, as I did in the beginning about it, as I do today, maybe even more.
Any nonprofit organization needs volunteers. How has the nonprofit leadership program at the University of Idaho kind of helped you find ways to bring more volunteers in? Because you can't do it by yourself.
True. A lot of it is personal growth that I've seen over the years. But having this education process behind me, I realize I'm not alone. And, I felt like a shooting in the dark for so many years. And people with wisdom and knowledge, you know, they're giving me support. And they're showing me, like, you don't have to be desperate. What you're doing is, you know, people like it. And they want to be a part of it. And it's really taken, for me personally, I'm not as desperate anymore. I don't have that desperation inside. And I rely on the program. And when somebody tells me they want to help me, I say, yes, I want you to help me. Please come and join us. Where before, you know, maybe I did too much on my own. And it's really about getting your community involved and embracing their talents and their gifts and putting them out there to share that with the community.
Mm-hmm. So looking at the types of classes that are in the Nonprofit Leadership Certificate Program, you know, some real nuts and bolts classes are like branding, brand matters is named Title I, or marketing on a nonprofit budget. Now, those are probably things you're already doing just to get your nonprofit going. But did that add to your knowledge on those sorts of things?
Absolutely. It fine tunes everything. It systematically organizes things for me. And I've been able to achieve more. This year, Creations I'm pretty sure we're going to be completely sustainable. Meaning our platform with our with our storefront, we're able to support ourselves from within. Where before years we always operated, you know, $20,000, $30,000 short. So we really, really, really needed community help. We still do, so we can continue to grow. We can't grow unless we have our community. But the importance of it, now since we have something that works, you know, a sustainable platform that's working, we can implant this into another community. You know, so many people over the years, they've been like, I want this in my community. Well, how do you do that? You know, who's going to give 9 years of their life? Mm-hmm. You know, I basically worked for free. Mm-hmm. And which, you know, you just can't find people in every community that want to do that. It was my heartbeat. But now, beautiful idea and gift for your community. And it can actually, it's sustainable. So the grants that we receive, build programming. So the bus that you see, the mobile unit, that's by a grant in Lynn Northwest Foundation. And we're able to reach more people. So the grant funding is super important. And growth for us comes from the community. So we do need your help still. I just wanted to be clear.
Mm-hmm. Bob, what are the classes that you consider kind of essential for nonprofit leaders to be taking out of your program?
The class that is probably the most popular and the most needed is board development. I find all too often that boards, as well-meaning as they might be, do a lot of missteps and inevitably always go the wrong way. They work instinctually as opposed to strategically. And that's probably the main thing. And what I've also been doing is working with a number of nonprofits, three of which are going to be next week, on an individual basis, looking at how can we formalize systems? How can we set protocols, policies, and procedures together so they can get the right board members to begin with? And then how can they, between the staff and the board, work together effectively? So we put a formal process together and teach that. That's probably the biggest need that I find. And with all respect to the well-meaning boards up here, there just isn't, hasn't been until we've come along, any board development support or training. So people are floundering. So that's one of the main things.
What I see, actually everybody in the room is involved in nonprofit groups in this town. What I see is that a nucleus of volunteers that are fired up, get an organization started, they're that first board, but then you need to sustain it and you need to plan for succession and turnover and people leaving the board. You need to recruit new boards members. Is that, that's got to be a big part of this.
Yeah, that's correct. And that's all within the context of board development. And board development, in essence, if you were to just boil it down to its root, goes through developmental stages. It starts with starts at the very beginning where people are excited about being on the board. They've got an idea and they don't know what they're doing, but it's euphoria. It's like playing in a toy store. Like, wow, we're going to change the world, excitement. Then it goes to another stage called storming. And that's when people are saying, wait a minute, this isn't working. Why are you doing this? And I should be doing that. That's not your job. Well, the job descriptions haven't been defined. Levels of authority haven't been noted, et cetera, et cetera. And then it goes into two more stages. There's a maturation that happens, and then the fourth stage just starts coming together. Now, a nonprofit can slip back, but hopefully it's going to go forward. And hopefully with the classes that we're going to be providing, they're going to be able to go forward and understand that going through that storming stage, for example, is really okay, and it could be quite healthy because it's a wake-up call. Like, this ain't working. What are we going to do to make it work? So, and board and fundraising is another thing. I had mentioned that before. Mm-hmm. All organizations, nonprofit organizations, need to raise money, such as your radio station. And it's critical and it's important. And as Sherry is saying, the community must be involved to make things work. So that's part of it, strategic planning. Without a plan, you don't have a rudder. You're blown around in the wind. You're going all over the place. And you have to have a strategic plan, and you have to follow it, and you have to have everybody invest in it. Board, staff, community needs to know where you are, where you're going, and have to have that vision, which Sherry is a great example of it. She's a great visionary. You have to have vision, and you put goals and objectives in place and values in place, and you have a plan. And one of the organizations I'm working with next week, that's what we're doing, is just strategic master planning.
Mm-hmm. Kind of revisiting the beginning and identifying some of the core values and then moving forward, seeing what you have and then adding to that elements that can support the mission, basically, or the vision of the organization. So I just want to clarify, Bob, so you do board development workshops or facilitate?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and I do it through the university, and we don't charge. I don't charge. I just enjoy that. It's been part of my – I've been doing this my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And being 140 years old, that means this, I've been doing a lot of work.
So now we need a workshop on how did you make it to 140? Look at what great shape you're in. That's a whole nother story.
Well, Susie, I'm hoping I can just get through your show today.
Okay. Well, a little more coffee will help.
Hmm. Now, yeah. You mentioned prior to getting on the air here that you actually have some pretty interesting classes coming up in just this next semester, this fall semester.
They're different, and they're a departure from the norm, or those what I call war horses that are so critical. Two of which I'm really pretty excited about, and they were born out of what happened here in Sandpoint, when the mayor was trying to get a resolution passed welcoming relocation Syrian refugees. And I went to one of the city council meetings, and being that Sandpoint is my newly adopted town, I walked away very, very disappointed and quite angry, thinking, like, this is not what I bought into. But then I learned a lot of the people that were there were not necessarily from Sandpoint. They came in from elsewhere. And I thought, okay, it restores my interest in this town that I've grown to love very, very quickly. Anyway, what I found was a lot of ignorance, a lot of hate, a lot of confusion, et cetera, et cetera. So they vetoed this. And the mayor, who I have a lot of respect for here, he's a great mayor, could not get that resolution passed. And I thought, what can I do? What can I do? I'm a new guy in town. I don't want to be considered a carpetbagger or anything else. So I thought, two things. Number one is that when you are a leader of a nonprofit organization, you are also a community leader. meaning that you should be looking at the welfare and the quality of life in the community that your nonprofit is in. And given that challenge of hopefully changing hearts and minds of people and opening doors and letting people understand what's really going on, I thought, okay, let's do two human rights classes. So the first one, and I'm going to be very general about this, I would encourage people to attend this. We're giving them away almost totally free. I mean, $15 for two classes, 5 hours worth of class. Now, come on, you know, bring your popcorn. The first class, we have a woman, a gal who just turned 18 years old, who her name is Ava. I first met her, and she was presenting to a really good group here in Sandpoint, which is the Sandpoint Human Rights Task Force. And I sat there and I listened to her, and I cried. I couldn't believe the story that she's a Muslim teenager. And to see the prejudice that she has experienced in high school was just heart-wrenching. Her dad escaped the revolution in Iran and went through all kinds of stuff as a result of being an Iranian. So anyway, Ava is going to spend an hour or so talking to us about her trials and tribulations and challenges, et cetera, and what we as a community can do about it. Unfortunately, too many of us just sit back.
So this kind of a class would be brought into this nonprofit leadership
yes.
program to give a better sense of community.
Yes.
And looking at the larger community and what is some of the barriers possibly to having a strong community.
That's exactly right.
Is that it?
And Ava herself is actually... She's born in the United States.
She's born in yep. the United States, but she's been treated as though she's a foreigner.
Mm-hmm. Because of her religion and her
yeah, she's
and
a
her heritage.
Teenager. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. And so she wants to talk about that. She's so popular that she had a meeting with President Obama here about a month ago
in
Seattle.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And worked on Bernie's campaign. And her interest is certainly political, but it's certainly like, let's get out there and talk about the real story. What's mm-hmm. the truth? And let's get people thinking a little bit more. So we hope to do that in class. And hopefully the nonprofit leaders that come to the class are going to say, okay, I understand this now. What can I do about it? And then we have an Iraqi incoming in as well.
Let me throw in that class titled Separating Truth from Fear, The Journey of an American Muslim is going to be in October.
That's correct. It's going to be October 11th.
Yeah.
And all the classes are going to be held at HREI in Coeur d'Alene. That's a departure from where we were, and that's a Human Rights Education Institute.
I see. Okay.
And where is that located?
It's located off of Northwest Boulevard in City Park. It's a big brick building. If you're taking Northwest Boulevard, you'll find it off to the kind of the south.
Okay.
It's hard to miss.
Okay.
Okay. And then you were going to tell us about a second class related to human rights.
Yeah. Like I said, we have a part of the session that Av is speaking at. We've got Michael Pauls coming in. He's an Iraqian who has been imprisoned and tortured, has worked for the United States government, loves America, as does Ava. And he's going to talk a little bit about the same stuff, but his experiences. And he's a well-versed speaker. I'm not sure of his age, but I think it's probably, you know, late 30s, so he's been around for a while and has experienced a lot of stuff. The second class we're going to be doing is done by two guys that I've really grown to like a lot, Jonathan and Sergey, that do a talk show on public radio out of Spokane, and it's called Speak Out, and they're going to be doing talking about LGBT issues and some of the challenges that face that community, and they're fun, they're bright. Very, very intelligent, and they put on a good show. So they're going to take the next session and talk about that.
Okay, I wanted to remind our listeners that this is 88.5 KRFY, the morning show with Chris and Susie. We're speaking this morning with Bob Over. He's the coordinator of the Nonprofit Leadership Program at the University of Idaho, as well as Sherry Meekings of Creations here. in Sandpoint, who is one of the students in the program. And we're actually going to be running out of time here shortly because we have a second segment coming up in just a little few minutes with Melinda Rossman on the homeschooling support program in the school district. I guess I would just turn it over to you, Bob, for a few concluding comments, and Sherry as well. Your programs start in September, is that right?
They do start in September. September 20th is our first class at Brand Matters, and then we go straight on through November 15th. And we may put in another class that I've been considering, but stay tuned on that. And I would ask people to continually check the website. And the website is uidaho.edu/cda/outreach/nonprofit. It's a mouthful, but that will get you to the website where people can get the specific information on the classes, read all the bios, and if they read the bios, they're going to be blown away by some of the people that are coming to talk. Like I say, this is the best of the best.
Yeah, and you have, I think you said, 10 or 11 classes on different topics relating to development of nonprofit organizations.
Yeah, and they can see the classes, read the bios, and register by going to this website.
Yeah, and Sherry, can you tell us, what's the value of this?
So the value for me, like I mentioned before, it's a lot of fun, number one, and I get to be around like-minded people going through the same struggles that I go through or I have gone through. And I can only encourage, if you're on a board or if you're a volunteer in a nonprofit organization, come down and get some information because you'll feel better about what you're doing for your organization. And you'll be able to provide more gifts for your organization as well. And we need that as a community. We all need to work together. And I think you mentioned a really cool word earlier, like a nucleus. And I couldn't think of that word this morning, but I love that. Mm. And that's what it's truly providing. So, come on down and join us. It's so much fun. And you'll get a lot from it.
Well, we know the value of the nonprofits in our area. It's amazing how many we have that function so well. And having this extra support and additional information that can augment the work that's already being done is vital, is what I'm hearing. So is there a deadline for registering for the fall classes, Bob?
No, I will say that we're trying to limit the class to about 30 people. Mm-hmm. And we have 30 people in there now. That being said, the experience is that at least 10% do not even show up.
Sure.
And so that gives us three or four more seats available.
So get your name on the waiting list and you could probably get in.
Yeah, if they can do that this week or early part of next, my best guess is they'll be able to get in. Mm-hmm. Other than that, it'll be on a waiting list. And we will stay in touch with people and let them know about the spring classes. And if there's a possibility of squeezing them into this, we do have the space. Mm-hmm. That's not the problem. We're trying to limit it to how we can best and most effectively function as a class.
So if someone wanted to just make a phone call rather than go to that very long website link, is there a phone?
Yeah, I think the best number, I hate to say it, but it's my cell phone.
Okay.
And that's 970-764-7077, and I would be happy to answer any and all questions, meet anybody, talk on the phone, send information, do whatever. My goal is to get the information out there so we can support it. We've had, by the way, over 500 unduplicated students in our class in the last 4 years, and I want to encourage people to participate. I want to encourage these people to continue to come back, and I want to continue encouraging people to get that certificate. And like Sherry, go out there and do absolutely wonderful things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, it's a pleasure having you here. It's always nice to see you, Bob, and the work you're doing, Sherry. Thank you for supporting our community in such a fun and wonderful, colorful way.
Thank you. I love doing it.
And we will. And Bob, thank you.
Thank you, Susie. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, thank you.
We're going to be right back after a song. And my whole screen just went black. But I think I can make a song come on. This is Bruno Mars, Count on Me.
Find yourself stuck in the middle of the sea. I'll sail the world to find you. If If you ever find yourself lost in the dark and you can't see, I'll be the light to guide you. Find out what we're made of when we are called to help our friends in need.
And that was Bruno Mars, Count on Me. And we're back in the studios of 88.5 KRFY. And by the way, this is listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. This is the morning show, and we are live in the studio.
And we have with us for the second segment of our show, Melinda Rossman. She's the coordinator of the new homeschooling support program that's being offered by the Lake Pendre School District. Hi, Melinda.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
And, you know, I think we should dive in right at the top. What is this new program that the school district's doing?
Well, it's an innovative, non-traditional approach to education to support the local Bonner County and Lake Pendre School District homeschool families. And what we're up to is creating extension activities beyond the basic cores of English language arts and mathematics, and creating a science, environmentally based extension program where the students can come learn about the local sciences and environment. And then we'll have another day of art connected activities, and then another day of a variety of activities. I can speak to that in more detail for each of those categories if you'd like.
I wonder what the original thought was to why this support for the homeschooling. I can imagine, but I'd like to hear the official reason to kind of formulate this new program.
Well, from my personal experience in education, coming from Colorado, I just moved here to North Idaho June 1st, purchased my house back in December. In Colorado, homeschool families are required by state statute to account to a school district within their, you know, region or zone. And the same over in Washington State, homeschool families are required to account to a school district. In Idaho, the statute doesn't require that. The statute specifically says, and believe me, I read all of them because that's what I do. The statute says that they account to the state, a homeschool family, let the state know what curriculum they're going to use for English language arts and math, and that's it. So basically, in Idaho, school districts have no clue as to how many homeschool families there really are out there. And by creating this homeschool academy, Lake Pendre School District is able to create a new community within a community here in the Sandpoint area. And by doing that, we're offering not curriculum-based support, but standards-based support. And that's where my education background comes into play.
Is there a standard right now for these kids? It doesn't sound like it is in Idaho, that the kids that are homeschooled, there's any kind of assessment of if they're getting a proper education?
There are options that homeschool families can access. And what I've understood over the last few weeks of researching information is if a parent wants to know where their child is academically, they can go to their local school district and say, hey, can you do this Idaho reading inventory for me? Can you do this measure of academic MAP test for me? And let me know where my kid is pulling out in comparison to other kids nationwide or statewide. So there are opportunities for parents to do that without making a commitment to a school district. The other thing that the state statute says is that when a child is ready to graduate high school, they can apply for their GED, unless they're in a certified program that has a point system or a credit system throughout that check-in throughout their high school years, and then they can actually get a high school diploma through those certified programs. Mm-hmm. But as far as checking out where a child is academically, it's pretty much up to the parent to keep track of that through the curriculum they may purchase. And I discovered there's a good half a dozen to a dozen different products families can buy to support their homeschool core content.
So do you find that some families say, oh, we're homeschooling our kids, and they're really not doing much at all?
No. Actually, the families that I've gotten a chance to interview have really been engaged with their children, not just in the core content of math and English language arts, but in real life experiences outside of the classroom, you know, either helping with the horses or the cows or the pigs, helping in the garden, helping with home chores. So I think that, you know, there's three pools of thought. And I think the pool of thought that we're attaching to here with the Homeschool Academy are those families that just choose to homeschool for personal reasons. you know, I want to be a part of my child's life. I want to watch my child grow like my garden, right? A bloom and fruit, right? To become a little human being, you know, producing in society. I think there's that family that just has that passion for watching their child grow up. And I'm not saying that families that put their children in public education are not doing that. Absolutely, I'm not saying that, because I've been a public education teacher for the last 14 years. And I'm completely involved with the families and the child's growth. So I think it's just a choice that they homeschool.
Mm-hmm. So do you have numbers?
Hearing, oh, my goodness.
The sense is there's a lot of homeschoolers in our county, but
I bet there's several hundred families in our county that are homeschooling. And I was able to be interviewed by the newspaper. Mary Malone interviewed me, and I was in last Wednesday's Bonner County Bee, and that was a great blessing to the program. I initially interviewed six families based on Sean Woodward had sent out
the superintendent of schools.
Yes, the superintendent of Lake Pendre School District. He sent out an idea in a posting in April. I'm thinking about this idea with homeschool. And then May, there it was again. And I moved here June 1st, and I see this job advertised for homeschool academy teacher. And I'm like, that's my job. That is my job. That's my dream job. That's what I've been dreaming about doing for the last 5 years, is creating a non-traditional environment for students to learn in, environmentally based. And that's where my expertise pops in too, through my life experiences. And they're varied and vast. So I bring a big pool of knowledge to the program, plus the enthusiasm of being a lifelong learner myself. I interviewed six original families that showed an immediate interest to the school district. And I went out and I sat with each of them from anywhere from an hour to 2 hours. And just, we picked each other's brain, and I took massive notes. And that's how I created this initial formal schedule. And through those ideas of those families. Well, since then, in the last week, I've been in communication with 19 new families. You know, possibly 45 other children.
The word is out.
Bam, right? Okay. I'm loving this. Because I want to see 100 kids, students in this program before the end of the school year. I was initially hired as a half-time employee. However, I can make this grow. This can become a full-time position for me, where potentially in the future, I get to be a part of a hiring process to bring in other teachers interested in this form of education. And we grow this program to meet the needs of the families that want to be a part of it.
How will it work, functionally?
Yeah. So what does the academy consist of, these support programs?
Well, first, the school district leased a facility for me, and it's over on Superior, and Division in Superior. We're having an open house on Thursday night, September 1st. People really need to be in communication with me if they want to attend, because we're providing a light meal, so I need numbers. So that right now I have 19 families that have confirmed to come. How the program is going to be operating is what I've designed as Wednesday is Environmental Education, Environmental Awareness Day. And I've created a series here through the fall, and I've contacted many national agencies, organizations, and groups to gather ideas and to help me build my curriculum. And I've created a curriculum called Lake Pendre Beyond the Surface. We're going to study all the aquatic life of Lake Pendre. We're going to study all of the waterfowl and predator prey bird life on Lake Pendre. The series goes over, the first series of lessons and curriculum that I've created will run through November 4th, the first quarter of the school district. We'll operate on the same schedule as the school district, taking holidays when they take holidays. But on Wednesdays is our Environmental Education Day. And that's going to be for kindergarten through eighth graders. And we'll take on, parents have expressed an interest to be a part of those days. So we've got parent chaperones. If need be, I can have a parapro assistant through the school district to support me on those days. And then some days we'll be at the school that they've leased me. I get to create a school. I'm so excited, right? We'll be at the facility some days and doing indoor education to prepare for the following week's Wednesday outdoor, to get some background, get some learned information, and then go experience outside. But most of the events are outside. Following up on Thursdays, I have it split into two sessions, K through 3, 9 to noon, 4th through 8, 1 to 4. And that we're going to do all kinds of fine arts connected activities, from artistic expression activities to theater arts activities to writing poetry and music and doing improv. So Thursdays is our artistic expression day. And I split that into two different age groups because of, you know, the attention span, the productivity, the understanding of the language and expression. So really have to split that up to be effective. And then Fridays, I call it Freeform Fridays, Freeform Fridays. On Freeform Fridays, we're going to have robotics, keyboarding, introduction to Spanish. We're going to have culinary arts education. And that Fridays will grow depending on student input to me. And they'll say, hey, Miss Rossman or Miss Melinda, I'm not sure what they're going to call me yet, right? Mm-hmm. This is non-traditional. I'm kind of liking Miss Melinda. But they'll say, hey, I'm really interested in learning this, or I want to do this. And so I can say, well, let's finish this unit. I'll get the next thing developed, and we'll move into that direction also.
If this program is successful, as you are enthusiastic, it's going to be amazing.
Well, thank you.
I was going to say, I'm enthusiastic. Sensing a certain enthusiasm. Here, Melinda,
no, so. Well, it's exciting for a public school teacher to get an opportunity to create a program that really meets the needs of, as you say, non-traditional learners. Mm-hmm. And one question I have, is there criteria for the homeschooling student to be at a certain level and to have been, you know, engaged in their homeschool program effectively?
That's an excellent question, and I've pondered that a lot because in our creative expression, I want to be able to be sure that the child has the language, has a command of the language. That's key in any communication system. And I think that a parent has an idea based on all the parents I've spoken to. They said, oh, my child, I have a second grader and a child entering kindergarten. Okay. So then I have to understand where that child is cognitively. And then I have an eighth grader, but performing as a 10th grader. So I've talked to a lot of families that really are making what they appear to be clear assessments of their child academically. What we're offering as an option also to these families is anyone that signs up, they have the opportunity to take the Idaho Reading Inventory, the IRI, and they also have the opportunity to take the MAP to give us a real clear picture. Where are their children academically? By no means is this required. If they opt in to do that, we'll encourage it, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. This is just an assessment tool.
Yeah, it's a statewide assessment mm-hmm. tool. Yeah. It gives an educator an idea, some specific data to say, oh, this is where the child's struggling in their literacy skills, reading skills, or, oh, wow, they're struggling in math. We can give that information to the parents. I will also be offering, as this program grows, academic support. Absolutely. One parent has already requested that for writing and another for math.
So private tutoring?
Within the program.
Within the program.
At no cost. This is a public education program supporting the homeschool families. Mm-hmm. So as this program grows, academic support hours will be cut into the schedule.
So you have, let's say, 19 families with kids in the program. They're using a variety of curriculum to get the reading, writing, arithmetic basics handled. Is that difficult for you to try to size up students coming with, you know, using different learning methods like that?
I believe not. I think, if anything, it, as an educator, it really give me an opportunity to use all the skills I've developed in strategies and methodology over the last many years.
You're not also limited by teaching for the test.
Right.
This is an extra program.
This is an extension activity. Mm-hmm. I don't have to worry about monthly testing. I don't have to worry about the state assessment. What we're going to focus on, and it doesn't matter where the child is academically, because we're going to create a community. I taught in an expeditionary learning school, the trademark expeditionary learning school, for 2 years before the particular one I worked at had to close. But I learned how to write curriculum. I learned how to teach to the whole child very deeply. And it really enhanced my teaching and education knowledge and ability to affect children. But by taking that expeditionary or experiential learning skill and applying it in every format, it's not about, okay, today we have to be on this page and get this done. It's about posing questions to children and help them become 21st century thinkers, about getting them in the small pods with their peers, and maybe once in a while mix in an older child as a mentor to guide discussion and help lead discussion. So we're going to be creating leaders with our older children and helping to mentor the younger children. I really visualize a whole community learning together, especially in our outdoor education days. It's going to be the K-8 children. And then I've got it divided for the artistic expression. And then we're back all together on Fridays with guided activities.
Sounds like you're bringing back the one-room schoolhouse in
a
way.
It feels like that, yeah.
You mentioned that you have this event coming up Thursday. That's tomorrow, September 1st. And that there is space considerations. So how do they contact you if someone listening right now is interested in finding out more or attending this event?
If they want to email me today or tomorrow morning, it's not too late, tomorrow morning, Melinda, M-E-L-I-N-D-A .Rossman, R-O-S-S-M-A-N @ L-P-O-S-D, Lake Pendre Orioles School District .org. If you email me today, I will get back to you immediately. I've got a few PDFs that I've created that I've just been attaching to all the emails I've gotten in the last 5 days from families and say, here's where we're at. Thanks for being in communication with me. This is what's going on right now so far. And I've even written out all the curriculum. I just have 3 more weeks of curriculum to outline to create. But it's amazing the different organizations that are like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. How can I help you? Mm-hmm. So I'm still putting all those together. And that's just our fall curriculum.
And so again, that's melinda.rossman @ lpost.org.
Yes.
And how about a phone number in case they just want to call you?
They can call me, but I will immediately ask for their phone number or their email just so I can send these documents.
Sure.
Because literally I've spent hours on the phone with families answering questions and getting excited.
It like, sounds oh, like you respond this. To the email very quickly. You must have a smartphone.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
Technically, yeah. I will.
Well, some folks, go ahead and give us a phone number because some folks
don't. They can call me.
Yeah.
208-217-0104. Now, that's my personal phone, and it's the only phone I have. So if you need to call me and access information, absolutely do so. We're asking that families get registered by this Friday. You physically have to register with the school district and make a commitment to at least one session per week. Now, each of the sessions are 4, 3, or 4. I'm sorry, I lost a train of thought.
Sorry
so
about that.
You make a commitment to one session, 2.5 hours per week. If you want to come to all the sessions right now, there's 12 hours of contact time that you can leave your child with me for a powerful and a learning environment throughout the entire school year. Mm-hmm. And it's free. Mm-hmm. You just have to register at the actual school district. Okay. And bring the proper documentation.
Can they get to this information via the website, the school district website?
I think
you need
to call the
school
district.
On there. Yes,
you need to call the school district and talk to the registrar or Andra Murray or Sean Woodward. Those are my cohorts in developing this.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm sure
call me.
The program's new enough. They haven't got it on the website yet.
I'm going to repeat those places for people to contact you. Melinda, melinda.rossman, R-O-S-S-M-A-N, @ lpost.org. And a phone number is 208-217-0104. And we do kind of have to wrap it up. This is so exciting. We're really happy that you moved. Welcome to Sandpoint.
Thank you.
And what a wonderful program. You have an event tomorrow night, Thursday night. And now's the time for families to find out more about this program, this homeschool support program.
It's another gem in the Bonner County and the Lake Pendre area. It's truly going to be a gem.
It sounds like it. Just a few reminders of things that are coming up. We're just about out of time. On to Thursday, you can tune into the morning show tomorrow at 8 a.m. with hosts Jim Healy and Jack Peterson. And next Tuesday, the KRFY morning show will have Robin Carsaw, Volunteer Service Coordinator of the Idaho Department of Transportation, who will be talking about the Adopt a Highway program, which KRFY has our own little spot on the highway out in Sagal that we clean up. And who are our guests next week, Chris?
You better look on the schedule there, Susie.
It's the city of Sandpoint
going
to talk about.
That's right. Okay, we're going to be talking about things that are going on in the city, but a big one that's coming up is the downtown streets realignment. And we're going to have Mayor Shelby Ronstadt, as well as the new city manager, Jennifer. And she's going to be in for just part of it, but we're going to be talking about, already you can see that there is some of the work that's underway right now, and that's going to be happening this fall. And by probably Thanksgiving, we're going to have a whole new street alignment going on.
So all those people going the one wrong way down Church Street will now be okay.
We're going to get rid of all the one-way streets in
Sandpoint. Oh, my goodness. Okay, that's one way to look at it.
Big change coming, yeah.
Okay, well, it's time for us to say goodbye. Thank you again, Melinda Rossman, for coming in today.
Thank you.
And you can hear the whole interview with both of our guests on KRFY.org. We're going to leave you with a song. This is... guess whose birthday? It's Van Morrison.
All right.
We all know Van Morrison. Van, yeah. He's 71 years old today.
Whoa.
And here's his song. I know. Into the Mystic. Have a great day.
Yeah. Bye now.